Let's go ahead and bow our heads for prayer. Dear gracious and loving Heavenly Father, I pray today that you open up our ears and our hearts and our minds, that we are accepting to your word. And I pray that it is your words that come out of my mouth and not my own, and that you are uplifted and glorified and not me. Amen. In the beginning, God created the sea, the earth, the heavens, and every living thing that was in them. And it was perfect. But then war broke out in heaven, and Satan and a third of the angels were cast out. And Satan, driven by jealousy, tricked man into disobeying their creator, causing sin to enter into their hearts. Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden for their iniquity and separated from God. But God had already prepared a perfect plan of redemption, so that he may deliver us from sin, bring us back to that perfect world, and so that we will never be separated from him again. Fast forward about 9 generations from Adam. By now, man had multiplied across the face of the earth, and man had become very, very evil. Genesis 6 tells us that every intent of the thought of the heart was only evil continually, and that man was indeed flesh. So God decided that he would send a flood to destroy all of his creation because of how evil it had become. But Noah found grace in God's eyes, and God delivered him and his family from the flood. Then God made a promise that he would never flood the earth again. But although the earth was destroyed and physically restored, iniquity was still in the hearts of man. But we're going to fast forward again about 10 more generations from Noah when we get to the story of Abraham. Well, see, when Abraham was 99 years old, and at the time he was called Abram. See, God came to reiterate a previous promise to Abram of the promise of Canaan, and to tell Abraham the sign of that promise. So please turn with me to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, we'll be starting from the top. Genesis 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. Caleb, I thought you said that God was making a promise. My Bible keeps saying covenant. What's a covenant? Well, a covenant is like a binding contract, but it's also a relationship. It's an agreement worked out between two parties, specifically God and God's people. But it's different than a contract in the sense that God initiates and stipulates all the provisions, and we people have the freedom to choose whether we will accept or reject it. But we do not have the choice of offering alternative plans or conditions. We'll continue on Genesis 17. We'll go ahead and reread verse 9. We'll keep going. God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who was born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who was not your descendant. He who was born in your house and he who was bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who was not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people, and he has broken my covenant. The Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary states, God has appointed signs and memorials of very significant events. The Sabbath was instituted as a memorial of creation. Circumcision of the Abrahamic covenant, baptism of Christ's death and resurrection, and the Lord's Supper of Christ's vicarious sacrifice. Outward signs may teach spiritual truths, thus becoming God's appointed channels for spiritual blessing. Thus they may serve as a perpetual reminder of God's grace and our own duty and responsibility. So what spiritual truths can we learn from circumcision? How is it a perpetual reminder of God's grace and our own duty and responsibility? Well, circumcision was an outward sign that signified who God's people were and who were not God's people. The significance of it came from its underlying importance. In Genesis, it is perpetuate the memory of God's covenant. This was the outward sign. In Deuteronomy, it is to foster the cultivation of moral purity. In Romans, it is to represent righteousness by faith and to symbolize the circumcision of the heart. In Colossians, it is to foreshadow the Christian rite of baptism. So now let's start connecting some dots on this whole circumcision business so that we may see how it applies to us. Please turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 will be starting at verse 11. Colossians 2:11. And we'll read through verse 13. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, which you were raised with him through faith in the workings of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. All right, I'm getting somewhere. Just give me a minute. All right, please turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 26. Reading to verse 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So, let's finish this loop a little. So if we are Christ through baptism, then we are of Abraham's seed and heirs to the promised land. Therefore, since we are heirs to the promise, then we must keep the sign of that promise. Right? See the dots connecting? But wait, I'm still getting somewhere. Please turn with me to Jeremiah 31:31. Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers of the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." You see, Abraham's descendants were able to keep the physical sign of the covenant, but they were unable to keep the written covenant, which was God's law. Over and over again, they failed to be obedient to God. Over and over again, they failed to trust in God. And over again, they broke the commandments of God. And we do the same thing over and over again. But you see, the Jewish people were so caught up in the sign of that covenant. And they really forgot of what it actually meant. And as people, we do the same thing. You know, the Jews, like, "I'm special because, yes, I was circumcised by the letter of the law. And no, look at me. You know, I'm separated from the rest of the world. I'm not like them." But we do the same thing as people. We're here, and we come to church. We play the part as a Christian. We've got all the physical outward appearances of a Christian. But is that enough? Please turn with me to Romans 2, 25. Romans 2, 25. Read through verse 27. "For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who are even with your written code in circumcision are a transgressor of the law?" So here I see that circumcision, to be circumcised is to be obedient to God's law. And therefore, if we are obedient to God's law, then we are heirs of the promised land. So if outward circumcision made a distinction between who God's people were and who the rest of the world was, inward circumcision of the heart, makes that same exact distinction. I apologize for being so blunt about it. But if the outward sign was the cutting off of foreskin or the flesh, just remember in Genesis 6 that man was indeed flesh. What is being cut off when the heart is circumcised, and how does it make a distinction between God's people and all the others? In Jeremiah 4:4, we are told to circumcise ourselves to the Lord and to take away the foreskins of our hearts. Here the foreskin is anything obstructing God's access to our heart, whether it be pride, jealousy, gossip, addiction, hate, or even if it's just Friday night football. We must cut it off through faith in God and repentful prayer. It is time that we are cut off from this world. We must not conform to its beliefs or its mentalities. We need to be the nonconformists, the ones who love God and keep his commandments. And by keeping his commandments, we begin to represent Christ's character. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6 says, "And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live." I want you to notice something here. Do you notice that it is not we who circumcise the heart? That job is left to God. The only thing that we have to do is be willing. See, we don't circumcise the heart. God circumcises our heart. Now let's backtrack to the covenant or that contract. The Lord had already initiated and made all the provisions. But as free moral agents, we have the choice to accept or reject this covenant. We must be willing to let God conform our character into his. Willingness is essential. But you know, Jesus Christ, he loved each and one of you so much that even if you were the only one left on earth, he still would have left all of heaven behind to come to this earth and die on that cross for your sins. He paid the price that we deserved, so that he may one day take us back to a perfect world. And all God asks is for our love and obedience. He gave so much, and he asks for so little. Please turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, reading from verse 25. John 12, 25. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Are you conformed to this world? Are you willing to let Christ conform your heart so that you may live an eternal life with him in heaven? Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So, I've got a question. What are you willing to give up? This here, if you can see it, this is your life on earth. Little, meaningless. So no matter what, even if you decide to accept or reject this covenant, you're still cutting something off. Whether it be this life here on earth, you're going to cut it off, toss it out, die daily to yourself and live in conformity to God's will so that we can attain that life in heaven? Or are we so caught up in this meaningless earth that we will do what we can to hold on to it because we don't realize what we're throwing away? But you see, you get to decide if you're cutting off this life on earth or if you would rather cut off eternal life. The two things that give life meaning are to love God and to live in conformity to his will. Jesus says in John 14, 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." I would like to end with the way Solomon ends the book of Ecclesiastes. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Thank you.